So, Father, I thank you, Lord. Just communicate to us this morning. Holy Spirit, give me the anointing to communicate this truth, Lord God. That's the coming move of the Lord. As we trace our olden path, Lord God, our ancient path, Lord. And we are here in the history, God. We just saw the history of revivals. And God, we are looking forward for a mighty move that no eyes have seen, no ears have heard. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise in the name of Yeshua, Lord God. Amen. Amen. So I want to talk about keys to the coming final move of God. You know, it's very important. We are on the verge of a very great move of God the world has ever known before. It's a move is going to be incredible that no one has ever seen. You know, people have gone seen miracles. They have seen cities coming to the Lord. You know, they have seen millions coming to the Lord, and you know, wheelchairs, people rising from dead. They've seen everything. But what we are going to see is nobody have ever seen the things that God has planned for our generation. Amen? Amen. So it's all just coming together. It has been, you know, like a dam is stored, is going to release it, everything to us. So we need to go into a couple of amazing vision of Smith Wigglesworth, which some of them has already happened. The third is the one we are waiting for to happen. Amen. The Bible tells in the book of Amos that he will not do anything in the earth until he shows his prophets. Amen. So we got to give value for the prophetic words. Of course, we have to test it to the Spirit of the Lord. But according to this prophecy is by Smith Wigglesworth, which has already happened. So we know that it's true. Right? So there were two distinct moves that was the vision of Mr. Smith Wigglesworth. The first one was, the first move would be the restoration of the baptism and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which happened. The restoration began to happen from 1967. Even before that, the baptism of the Holy Spirit began to be recognized and the gifts were beginning to be restored in the body. The second move, he said, will be people leaving historic churches and planting new churches. Right here, there are millions of churches planted outside the mainline denominations, right? So it happened. So in the duration of each of these moves, the people who are involved will say, this is the great revival, but the Lord says no. Neither is this is the great revival, but both are steps toward it. That's what Smith Wigglesworth said. Okay? Then God gave him the vision again while he was talking with Lester Sumrall, one of his disciples. So that's the vision we are taking, we are going to see today. Wigglesworth to one of his disciples, Lester Sumrall, the third wave. It's not just a one-time thing, it's a wave, right? Third wave. What is it? Wigglesworth cried saying, I probably won't see you again now. He's talking to Lester Sumrall. My job is almost finished. As he continued to pray, he cried, suddenly got the vision. I see it, I see it. Brother Sumrall asked, what do you see? What do you see? He said, I see a healing revival coming right after World War II. It'll be so easy to get people healed. I see it. I see it. I won't be here for it, but you will live it. And we all know there was a healing revival right after the World War II, right after Israel was reestablished as a nation in 1948. Healing revival, incredible healing. Healing was just like that. Everyone who came to the revivals, everyone who came to the meetings got healed. Thousands of them. Incurable diseases, cancers, creative miracles, everything happened. Exactly. Right? And then he continued to prophesy. I see another one. I see people of all different denominations being filled with the Holy Ghost. That was the charismatic revival. God raised a people during that era like the full gospel businessmen. 1967, it began to happen. Charismatic renewal. When Jerusalem became the united capital of Israel, there was a physical restoration. There was a release into the spiritual realm. Right? It happened exactly like this vision. Then Brother Wigglesworth continued. I see another move of God. I see auditoriums full of people coming with notebooks. There will be wave of teaching on faith and healing. There we go. We did experience that wave. We saw and we call it the Word of Faith movement. Does it happen? It happened. A lot of people begin to teach. Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Joyce Meyer, all these teachers came forward. Then he prophesied, After that, after the third wave, he started sobbing. I see the last day revival that's going to usher in the precious fruit of the earth. There we go. That's the harvest. Worldwide harvest. It'll be the greatest revival this world world has ever seen. It's going to be a wave of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The ministry gifts will be flowing on this planet Earth. Amen. I see hospitals being emptied out, and they will bring the sick to the churches where they allow the Holy Ghost to move. Amen. So this is what we are heading up to. We're going to see the emptying out of hospitals. The devil is taking so much advantage of the ignorance of the people, and the hospitals are full, right? But the Lord is coming back to empty the hospitals. Amen. Because Jesus came, it was healing, healing, healing that brought a lot of people into the kingdom. That's what we are going to do now at the end time. It's going to be an incredible healing move of God, which I call the glory revival. Amen. So what is this coming move? It is going to be the glory revival, not just revival of healing. It's not just a revival of word and faith movement. It's a revival of His glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Because the Bible tells the whole earth will be filled with His glory. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 14. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. It's not just the glory, but the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. You know, the Bible tells without the knowledge, people perish. You can see the glory. If you don't have the knowledge, you cannot do anything. Right? So it's a very important distinction. You can see the glory operating through Smith Wigglesworth or Benny Hinn. Some instant healings happen. But it does not affect you until you know the knowledge. So what we are heading up to is Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 14. The earth will be filled. Amen. With the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as water covers the sea. That's what we are heading up to. And Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1 talks about this. But this is what we are going towards. Isaiah 60 verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Amen. The glory of the Lord. It's a glory revival. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you and His glory appears over you. Hallelujah. Amen. It's going to be a glory revival. It's not just the anointing, it's the glory. Then the nations will come to your light. There we go, harvest again. Right? The nations will come to your light. And the kings to the brightness of your dawn, because we are so glorious. Even the presidents, the demonic regimes will come and bow down to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. That's where we are heading up to. The hospitals will be emptied. Because hospitals being emptied, people are, you know, delivered from demonic stuff. What happens? The whole world will fear the name of the Lord. Isaiah 59:19. From the west, people will fear the name of the Lord. And from the rising of the sun, they will revere thee. They will revere His glory. Amen. Why? Because the glory that's going to come upon the believers, the whole world will revere His glory. Amen. We'll be emptying out hospitals. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So word and power is the key. It's not just the power. It's not just the word. Word and power that will combine together. Not just the healing revival movement. Not just the word of faith movement, they'll combine together, they marry. That'll be the end time glory revival move. Amen? So that is going to be a different move, because before revival came, you know, William Seymour had just one guy came on Azusa Street revival and stuff. But it's going to be an incredible move. Amen? Each and every believer will be incredibly used by God. Amen? That's the amazing part of it. But what are the keys for preparation? For now, we are going to prepare for it. We got to be prepared. We got to be prepared, because God has given us insight from the Word of God how to be prepared. So keys for preparation. Number one, the knowledge of Jesus and Christ lives in us will be increasing in the body of Christ. Amen. Knowledge about Yeshua, Jesus Himself, and Christ lives in us will increase. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 13. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, that's a whole reason the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and all these people are given to edify the body of Christ. Until what? Until we all reach in unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. We will have an incredible knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Amen? So number one, we'll increase in the knowledge of the Son of God. Not just the salvation aspect of Yeshua. More than that, we'll go deeper into the knowledge of Yeshua. John chapter 15 verse 5. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So there'll be deeper revelation of Yeshua and we'll be more abiding in him more than ever before. Amen? Then we'll get into the knowledge of Christ lives in us. Many of us, we are not having the fullest knowledge or awareness or revelation of fullness of Christ that lives in us. That's going to increase. Colossians chapter 1 verse 19. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. God in all his fullness is in Christ Jesus. That's the reason when the knowledge of Yeshua increases, you will understand, you will realize more about our God himself. Amen. We'll begin to understand more of our God, how he is, who he is. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. Colossians 1:27. For God wanted them to know, he wanted us to know, that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles, that is you and me. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. Amen. Because Christ is living in us, this gives us assurance of sharing in his glory. Amen. Not only we get the knowledge of who Yeshua is, we'll get more knowledge of Christ that is living in us with the fullness of God himself. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's very important. Colossians 2:9. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in human body. Hallelujah. Amen. Colossians chapter 2 verse 7. Let your roots grow down into him. Into who? Into Jesus. And let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. As long as we are growing deeper in Yeshua and the knowledge of Jesus, and that Christ lives in us, there's no more begging, there's no more sorrow. We'll be overflowing with thankfulness because we will live the life that God has called us to live because of the revelation, knowledge of who Jesus is and the Christ lives in us will increase in us. That's the number one preparation. We need to study about Jesus more. We need to realize that he lives within each one of us. Colossians chapter 3 verse 11. In this new life, it does not matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric or uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, nothing else. As long as we look unto Jesus, we follow Jesus, that's all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Amen. Once you get into realization, you will begin to understand the life of Christ is living in us through his spirit. We can release the power into our bodies. Amen. Because God works from spirit, soul and body. The world works the opposite, you know, body, soul and spirit. Right? So once we understand that Christ is living in us, we can envision to release the power of Christ into our body organs. Amen. Every morning I do that. I get up and say, Yeshua means health. I taught about it one time, right? Yeshua means health. Jesus means health. The Hebrew word Yeshua means salvation, also health. So Lord Yeshua, I received in my life, I received health. Amen. May your life of God flow through me, flow through all the organs. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's all matters. So John G. Lake lived with this revelation. That's what the secret of John G. Lake. John G. Lake lived with this revelation. If there was ever a man who walked in the revelation of God in man, it was John G. Lake. It's one of the reasons he was so powerful. In 1910, when he went into Africa for the missions, a plague wiped out one quarter of the entire population. Where he went, one quarter of the entire population. You know, it was so contagious. nurses were not ready to work with the people, and hospitals were like, they couldn't do nothing because it was so contagious. The government offered, I'm talking about in 1910, the government offered $1,000, $1,000 that who could care for the sick. $1,000 to just care for the sick because it was too contagious. John G. Lakes offered free charge, free of charge, a service. And he and his assistant went and carried the, you know, people and buried them, you know. So they were so astonished because these plagues was not touching John G. Lake. Everybody was dying. Then the doctor, you know, he asked, what is the secret that you carry that these germs are not touching you? And John G. Lake said, okay, let's test it out. You bring a microscope and put the saliva of the person who is dead and see who is dying or dead. Both of them, and look what happens. Then he saw the microscope, or through the microscope, the moment the germs touched John G. Lake's hand, it was killed instantly. It was killed instantly. Why? Because of the revelation. Amen. He said in his own words, John G. Lake, it is a law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus. No germ will ever attach itself to me, for the Spirit of God will kill it. Hallelujah. Amen. So we need to live in that revelation that Jesus Christ is living in us, the fullness of Godhead. Amen. Hallelujah. That was the secret. The doctors found that the germs died instantly in Lake's hand because Christ lives in us. If we would just grasp the reality of the position through Jesus Christ as Lake did, I'm telling you, every demonic regime will crumble under the authority, and the nations will fear the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So we need to get into the knowledge of Jesus himself and the Christ that lives in us. Both are very important. That's the starting point to prepare for the coming glory. Amen. By the way, Saturday, August 2nd, I think you guys have registered already. Greg and Cindy, if you guys are free, join us. We are having a seminar on Glory Revival. If you got the emails, you can check on the emails. If you're free, join us here. August 4th, Saturday. Yeah. It's going to be a glorious time. Amen. Number two, abide in His Word. Abide in His Word. This is critical. Not only you cannot get to know you cannot understand who Jesus is if you don't spend time with the Word of the Lord. So John 15 verse 7 and 8, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, that's the key. So we got to spend more time in the Word of the Lord. We'll ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples, because Jesus is the Word of God. God has exalted His Word above His name, and His Word are ever settled in heavens. So the Word of God is very, very important. If you're not spending time with the Word of God, you will not be prepared for the coming glory. Amen? Because if you're not prepared for the Word, you will never realize the knowledge, you'll never come into the fuller knowledge of who Jesus is. Amen? Number three, power of God. This is very important. Not only the Word, but the power of the Holy Spirit is very critical. We got to be prepared. We got to spend more time with the Lord, asking Him to fill us continuously. Everything in the Christian life is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Without the Spirit of the Lord, nothing happens in the Christian life. Even during creation, it was the Holy Spirit. Amen. Resurrection of Jesus because of the Holy Spirit. Everything was because of the Holy Spirit. So nothing in Christian life will ever happen without the power of the Holy Spirit. Even the Holy Spirit needs to come and convict of our sins to get saved. Amen. Jesus instructed His disciples not to do any ministry until they were filled with the Holy Spirit. It's very important to understand. We all know we are all filled with the Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you, we are not to the next level yet. Amen. Acts chapter 1 verse 4. And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. So He clearly instructed, though you have been with me for 3.5 years, everything is good. And Jesus even said, you are clean because of my word. But you are not yet ready to minister because you are not filled with the power of God. Right? So what happened? Verse 8, he said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. Once the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you'll be ready to witness. Right? Not only wherever you're living, all across the globe. So this is a very important thing I'm going to tell you, which we are going to practice in our life, which I've already started. Okay, another vision of John G. Lake had a vision, incredible vision. Okay, so John G. Lake, as we know, he did incredible things. Until one point, he couldn't do anything. He was just a normal minister. He was not able to do much. But once this revelation came upon him, it changed his whole life. John G. Lake vision. He was having a vision, and he was living in Portland at the time, Portland, Oregon. So he was walking, and suddenly he saw a vision. An angel came. An angel came and began to talk with him. He showed many things, but one of them he showed is very important for us here. He was asking the angel, what constitutes a real Pentecost? Right? What constitutes a real Pentecost? Every one of us are filled with the Holy Spirit. No, nothing. We all know that. It's normal. But what really constitutes a real Pentecost? What ideals should be held before the minds of men as the will of God exhibited through a movement like this? He was asking a question. You've seen a lot of moves. His mentor was Maria Woodward Etter. So I saw incredible move in Maria's ministry. But what is the reason? What is the key to get into that level of movement? So the angel is beginning to answer. He was carrying the Bible. So the angel reaching for the Bible. John G. Lake was carrying the Bible, not the angel. Okay, John G. Lake was carrying the Bible all the time when the vision was happening. So the angel reaching for the Bible, he opened to the book of Acts, ran his finger down over the second page, that portion where the Spirit of God came down from heaven. That's the Pentecost that happened. We know the story. Proceeding through the book of Acts to its great outstanding revelations and phenomena, he said, this is Pentecost as God gave it through the heart of Jesus. So without Jesus, there is no Pentecost. Strive for this. In other words, don't just get one time filled with the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues and forget about it. Strive for it every day. Strive for it every day. Proceeding through the book of Acts to its great outstanding revelations and phenomena, he said, this is Pentecost as God gave it through the heart of Jesus. Strive for this. Contend for this. We got to contend for the power of God to increase in our lives. We got to contend. Teach the people to pray for this. He prayed 9 months. He was about to give up. Then God filled him with the real Pentecost. Amen. When the angel was departing, he said, let me go back. Contend for this. Teach the people to pray for this. For this and this alone will meet the necessity of the human heart. And this alone will have the power to overcome the forces of darkness. As we read in Isaiah 60, great darkness is beginning to cover the people. Demonic forces are fighting like crazy, like never before. Amen. In our generation. Right? The only thing that can confront the forces of darkness is the real Pentecost. We got to contend for it. We got to strive for it. When the angel was departing, he said, pray, pray, pray. Teach the people to pray. Prayer and prayer alone, much prayer, persistent prayer, is the door of entrance into the heart of God. Amen. We got to contend. Right now I'm in a 30 days fast. Why? The moment I didn't even study about this before, but the Lord was leading us while we were in Dallas to start a 30 day fast. Amen. We are beginning to pray. We got to contend for this. Think about this. The moment he realized this, he prayed for 9 months and he received the Pentecost. The electricity came upon him like incredible anointing. Before he was filled with the Holy Spirit. But now, the real Pentecost happened. So what happened? Thousands and thousands, millions of them came to the Lord. In 5 years, he transformed the whole place. Hundreds of churches and thousands of people were set free in Africa. After finishing in Africa, he came to America. He did the same thing here. He established hundreds and hundreds of people, you know, resurrected from all that spiritually dead lifestyle, and amazing things begin to happen even in America, in Oregon and Spokane. right? In Spokane, Washington. Spokane is in Oregon or Washington? Washington, Spokane, and he moved down to Portland. That's where he died. By the way, I'm going to go to his home. Hallelujah. Amen. He was responsible for raising 1 million converts. Whoa. 625 churches and 1,250 preachers in 5 years of ministry in Africa. Think about that. Had such an incredible healing ministry when he came back to America, it continued. Spokane, Washington was declared to be the healthiest city in America. Amen. Why? He realized he need to get that power. We don't have it yet. We need to contend every day. I started doing it. Amen. Turn to your Bibles. I want to go to a scripture there. Three scriptures. I'm done with that. Colossians chapter 1:29. You know? So angel told John G. Lake, that's the same thing, Paul. I want you to go to the scripture because I wanted to get into your eyes. Colossians chapter 1 verse 29. If you see here, Paul, to this end I also labor, striving according to his working which works in me mightily. Amen. So Paul was striving and working hard so that the power of God will work in him in a powerful way. Even book of Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 talks about it. Now he will do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Amen. So we got to contend as Paul was contending, as John G. Lake was contending. We need to pray, we need to labor, we need to contend for the next level of the Pentecost. Amen? That the same thing happened to Jesus. Let's go to Jesus. Let's go to Luke chapter, amen, Luke chapter 4, verse 1. We know he came to Jordan where John was baptizing. And he got baptized and he came out of the water. The Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. Verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Here we see Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? What happened after he went to the fasting? He was being tempted for 40 days by the devil. Verse 2. And in those days he did eat nothing, and afterward when they had ended he was hungry. So he went on a fasting, 40 days fasting we know. Then the devil came and tested. Right after the fasting what happened? Verse 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. There we saw before fasting he was filled with the Holy Spirit. But after fasting he came with the power of the Holy Spirit. Another translation should say, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's what we are talking about. We got to enter into that fullness. We are all filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. But we are talking about the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit. That will not come unless we do these things. Keys for the power of God in your notes. Keys for the power of God. Seeking God daily and the Word. Spending time with the Word. Number one, as we know that. Number two is fasting. We got to fast consistently every week, once a day, or whatever the Lord leads you, contending for the power of God. Amen. Same thing happened to the disciples. Acts chapter 2. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. What happened? We know that we just read the scripture that God wanted them to tarry in Jerusalem until they were filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Like Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit when God baptized, here they are filled with the Holy Spirit when Pentecost happened. Right? Then we go to Acts chapter 4. This is what I'm talking about. The second time when Jesus went through the fasting, right? He was full of the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what happened in Acts chapter 4, verse 31 and 33. You remember the story, the layman got healed and they were got upset and they put Peter and John in the trial and they were like, you know, rebuking them not to use the name of the Lord. So they were released and they came with their other disciples and they were praying to the Lord after they were released. So verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. The right translation, they were filled with the power of God. The next level of Pentecost happened the second time. Right? Verse 33. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. 33, I'm sorry. And with great power. See? There they were filled in Acts chapter 2. But in Acts chapter 4, they were filled with great power. Great power. Apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Amen? So that will happen when you go through a fasting and believing God to fill him up more and more and more. Amen? So we are all filled with the Holy Spirit, but we need to get into the next level of asking the Lord to fill us with the power of His Spirit. That's when you can have more authority over the healing, over the sickness. You'll have more authority over the demons, right? When John G. Lake was filled with this kind of power, he used to shake hands to the people who are coming into his church. Even before stepping into him, they will all fall out. Because the power, right? Maria Woodward Etter, thousands of them fall out in the spirit miles away. Because it's the power, genuine power of God that flows through you. That's what we're heading up to. Not for one person, but I'm talking about every believer. That's the difference between the revival that came and the glory revival that's coming. It's not just John G. Lake alone. Every one of us will operate in the same thing. Think about what happens to the world. Every believer will begin to operate. That's what we're heading up to. Great falling away is happening right now. But we are heading up to a great harvest. But the name of the Lord will be glorified for every believer because of the power that we will be carrying. Amen? So that will not come until we go through the fasting and all these things. Amen? Jesus, the model. Disciples, the model. Amen? Mm-hmm. So I'm so excited because we are on the right track. Amen? We are on the right track of what God is about to do in our generation. We are going to get into it. Amen. So the keys for power of God as we're finishing this message, seeking God daily and the word and then fasting. It's very critical that we do all these things in our life. Otherwise, we will not get anywhere because the coming move of the Lord is going to be incredible. We've got to be prepared. We've got to be prepared. Amen. So let's pray that the Lord will help us to fulfill what God has called us to do in our generation. And it's going to be an awesome, awesome, incredible time. Do you realize all the prophets, all the disciples of Jesus were dreaming to live in our time? What a grace that we could live in this generation. Amen. So may the Lord help us. Father, we thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father God. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. God, we thank you, Lord. Unless you initiate Holy Spirit, nothing is going to happen in our lives. And right now, Lord, as we pray together, God, Holy Spirit, initiate in us the hunger and thirst to dwell in your word, to fast and to seek your face, to contend with our flesh, O Lord God, to believe for a greater power of the Holy Spirit to come upon our lives, Lord. Help us to be prepared for the coming glory revival, Father. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. We give you all the praise in Yeshua. I pray as we pray this morning, God, as we pray, Lord God, together, Baptize us by your Holy Spirit and by your fire, Lord God. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.